Hi, this is Pastor Tim. Last week we began a conversation about having a front lines faith. And actually this morning in service, we, due to a technical difficulty, were unable to record the message. And so I'm coming to you with a very personal overview of today's message because I don't want you to miss it just because we weren't able to do a recording this morning at church. This is too important of a word to miss out on. So, hey, sit down, grab a cup of coffee, join me here as I review with you what we discussed today. Hey, this whole idea of a front lines faith is one that really emanates from Jesus himself. Listen, Jesus wasn't one who just hung out with his disciples, but he actually was one who went to the people who were the most broken, who were the sickest and most in need of a Savior. In fact, in Mark 2, 15 through 17, Jesus has just had this wonderful invitation given to Levi, or Matthew, as we know him. And Matthew was not a good guy. He was a tax collector. He was probably pretty hated as a villain in Israel. And this is what it reads in Mark 2, 15 through 17. Levi, or Matthew, invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. And then Mark puts this parenthetical thought in. He says, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. This is pretty hilarious when you think about it. You know, Mark is saying these were not just sinners. These were sinners with a bad reputation. You know, those people on your block who it's kind of like, oh my gosh, let's keep our kids away from these people. Yeah, those were the kinds of people that Jesus actually, not only did he feel comfortable hanging around these people, but were the ones that he invited to be his followers. And Mark writes that, hey, there was many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Then in verse 16, it says, but when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him, Jesus, eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So we know that Jesus, he spent a lot of time with his disciples, you know, people who are dedicated, faithful seekers of God. But Jesus' mission took him to the front lines where he interacted with sick, bad sinners, just like you and me. In fact, in Luke 19:10, Jesus stated this clearly. He said this, he said, for the Son of Man, speaking of himself, came to seek and save those who are lost. For us to have a front lines kind of faith means that we are compelled to move beyond where we are comfortable, hiding out behind the lines. And we're to join Jesus on his mission to seek and save those who are lost. So last week, I kind of gave this declaration. It's a declaration of those who have a front line faith. And this is what we declared. I am Jesus' first and best representative wherever he places me. Within me is everything needed for God to bring redemption and salvation to any person and redemption to any situation. I have been sent on mission into the world, authorized and empowered to minister the love and message of Jesus to those around me. So this idea of being a front lines faith type of a person is something that the Apostle Paul captured very powerfully in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is where Paul introduced us to the idea that we are Christ's ambassadors. Being an ambassador, this is a very important concept because ambassadors are diplomats of the very highest rank. who actually formally represent their head of state with the full authority to represent their government. This full authority that an ambassador has actually has a funny name. It's a kind of a legal name that goes with this. And an ambassador's full authority is called plenipotentiary powers. Plenipotentiary powers. So today, actually, most ambassadors that are on foreign soil, they're not just called ambassadors. Their full title is ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary. It means that they have the full power of their nation or kingdom behind them. And do you realize that Christ has given you plenipotentiary powers? He's not only given you a mission, but has backed you up with all his power and authority. You are an ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary. So let's kind of back up into 2 Corinthians 5 and listen to what Paul is saying before he gets to that important statement about us being Christ's ambassadors. We'll pick it up in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, where he writes, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others." Listen, this idea that we're going to be held account by a righteous judge one day when we stand before God, it says that because of that, we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord. We work hard to persuade others. That idea of working hard to persuade others, it literally means to win people over to him. To go out into the darkness and compel those people with our words and our deeds, with our love and with this message that God's given us. We work hard to persuade them, to win them over, to say, come out of the darkness and into the light. And I love this idea that Paul drops in there, that we work hard to do that. We work hard to persuade others. And listen, it's not enough to just say, hey, that's why I'm part of a church, because I expect my pastor to go and work hard to persuade others. You know, that's why we give money to missionaries, so that those missionaries can go hard to work, you know, work hard to persuade others that they need Jesus. Listen, it's our job. Because truly, when you stand someday before your righteous judge in the Lord, your pastor's not going to be there standing with you saying, hey, yeah, they didn't work really hard to persuade others, but they paid me so I could do that. It's all of our responsibility, and all of us will be held to account. Have we worked hard to persuade others? And then down in verse 13, Paul keeps this going, and he says this: "If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us." Now, I love this idea about being so crazy that it brings glory to God. Paul, man, he did some crazy things. He went out on ships. He was shipwrecked. People tried to beat him to death, and he'd stand back up and keep going. He'd get right back up and begin preaching again. Listen, why was Paul so crazy? Why does he encourage us to be crazy in our faith? Because Christ's love controls us. Because we have experienced Christ's great love. And we are going to be people who do crazy things because of our love. You know, people do crazy stuff when they're in love. Man, they go to Dodger games, they go to Raiders games, they try to get on the kiss cam, they do all these sort of things to show, man, I am so crazy about this person because of my love for them. And we're to do the very same thing, go to crazy measures in our persuasion of people, winning them over to Jesus. Paul goes on and says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was risen for them. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. See, so listen to that idea. We've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. What's a human point of view of kind of evaluating and critiquing other people? You know, we view them through our own filters. You know, maybe we get angry at people because they're a nuisance. Man, that person at work really is such a bother to me and is such a headache. And so rather than seeing them with that crazy love that is from Christ, and we view them naturally, and sometimes we really just want to avoid them. I don't want to persuade them to fall in love with Jesus. I just want them to back off and go away. And I want to stay away from them, keep my kids away from them too. But it says, we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And he goes on and says, at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Isn't that good? Because we've experienced his love. So how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Now think about that last phrase there for a moment. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Friends, that is our mission. It's our task. This is what God has assigned us to do, to reconcile people to himself. So what is this reconciliation idea? Well, you've probably experienced it sometime in your life. Maybe you had a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you guys were really on the outs with each other. You were not getting along. Man, we're going to break up. I don't like you anymore. You know, you bother me. And so that beautiful relationship was severed. There was something that was between you. But I hope part of your story is that you experienced the coming back together again. Where it's like, all right, you know, I'm going to just lower my barrier. I'm going to let you inside. I'm going to take you back in. I'm going to love you once again. And that's what reconciliation is. It's what once was broken is now whole once again. And that's our mission. God says that that's our task. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And then in verse 19, and finishing up this section, is where we hear about being Christ's ambassadors. Verse 19 says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Isn't that amazing? See, Christ himself is the reconciler, not counting people's sins against them, and it does not matter how bad the sinner. Just like we read about Matthew being this sinner and having all these sinner friends, man, Jesus loved them. And it says here that Christ no longer counts people's sins against them. He is the reconciler. And then listen to this. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we have a mission. It's a message. It's a mission of reconciling people to God. And we've been given a message. The message of reconciliation. That you can be a friend of God. Restored to full relationship with him. Because he does not count your sins against you. So we are people with a message on a mission. And here's then what Paul says. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Friends, that is the story of reconciliation. And we're ambassadors, it says. We are Christ's ambassadors, literally saying we speak for Christ. When we open our mouths on his behalf, man, we have that plenipotentiary power because we are backed up by Christ himself and the full kingdom of God. Oh, that authority pours out through us. God makes his appeal through us as we speak as his ambassador. Some may wonder, how is that even possible? And if you knew me, if you knew my story, if you knew my brokenness, if you knew my sin, maybe if you knew even what I'm caught up in right now, you can just feel the brokenness. How is that even possible that I could be an ambassador for Christ? I think Peter might have been thinking along those same lines when he wrote in 1 Peter 2:9 when he said this. He said, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And even in there, you hear that echoing idea of being an ambassador, someone of the highest diplomatic rank, representing your kingdom and the head of state, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, because of that, because you're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession, he goes on and says this, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Do you hear that? Because you're a chosen people, because you're royalty, God's very own possession, you are his ambassador. It says, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. And there is that mission and message of reconciliation. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, you are Christ's ambassador. You are an ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary, backed up with the full authority of the kingdom of God and of Jesus himself. And that's why we can say, with boldness, this declaration, this front lines faith, kind of a declaration that I have within me everything that is needed to bring salvation to any person or redemption to any situation. Not because of my power, but because when I open my mouth as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I go with his full plenipotentiary power. That's the truth. And so I pray for you today that not only will you be encouraged to know who you are in Christ, you will also be encouraged to walk forward knowing that you are a person on mission with a message of reconciliation to bring people back into relationship with God who loves them and no longer counts their sin against them. See you soon.